know, I have friends who would put their phones in plastic bags so they can text in the shower.
Ziploc text. I'm sure that's what they
do. Do more than one people do that? That was the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think back then when they didn't have touch screens, now you can't do it with... Well, they have protections.
No, you still do it. I know. I've heard of people doing it, but not to text message, quote, unquote.
You mean
okay,
to...
Okay, that could be between the lines, bro. Real subtle with your shower humor, Josh.
Snapchat.
I just really don't want him to be a giant. You know, Sergio Romo was a hardcore Dodger fan. Did
oh,
you know
yeah,
that?
Man.
No, next. He was right. He's from probably that's like an hour from where I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he went to the community college we have here in Yuma.
Oh, wow.
And he got transferred to wherever he
is. Yeah, my brother tells a story because he was playing with a guy who knows Sergio Romo. And when he got drafted by the Giants, the first person he called was his uncle. And his uncle goes, "Who were you drafted by?" And then it was silent for like a couple beats. And his uncle goes, "No!" Yeah, he got drafted by the Giants. Welcome, fans. Episode 2 of the Dodger Talk Podcast. With us again is Ramses Lemus. How's it going, Ramses?
Pretty good, man. How you been?
Not too bad. Did you enjoy the first episode?
Oh, yeah, man. That's a great success for us. I didn't expect it to be that good, you know?
I got to thank the fans for making the first episode such a monumental success. Views and downloads in the hundreds, closing in on the thousands. Really, we can't be any more grateful towards the turnout we had towards the first episode of the podcast. As a treat to the fans, we're going to go ahead and answer some of their questions and also read off some of their best comments per our request on the Facebook and Twitter pages. Also with us today for the Dodger podcast is Josh Martinez. Josh, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Pretty good,
what
man.
What did you have to do today?
Me, just went fishing, just trying to catch up on the Dodger game. Just glad to be a part of this, and thank you to the fans for making this all possible.
Of course. How many fish did you catch today, bro?
I caught one with my dad's fishing pole, and then he broke it.
Oh, you broke it? What? How'd he break it?
No, he stepped on it.
Accidentally or on purpose?
No, accidentally.
Okay. I didn't know such a frustrating sport.
Hey, it's almost like Milton Bradley breaking his bats.
Bradley, that's an old name, dude. What was his problem?
I don't know, man.
The last time I checked, that guy was doing jail time for something.
He was playing for the Jailbirds now.
Yeah, he's playing for the California Penal League with Wild Thing from Major League.
He signed a 3-year contract.
Yeah, I think so. He signed a 3-year sentence with the judge. Get into this podcast, fellas. Ramses, you have some topics you want to open up with, including the recent, it was the road wins winning streak that the Dodgers finally capped off with the loss to the Cardinals.
All right, yeah. We've won 15 straight road wins, what unfortunately ended 2 nights ago. But that was a new franchise record right behind the 1911 Giants.
And I would also like to add, we haven't lost back-to-back games dating all the way back to June 21st. That's about a month and a half, fellas. That's about 30 games, 40 games that we have not lost back-to-back games. So I think a lot of the ways that we're winning, we're not dropping consecutive games, we're not dropping consecutive series, has really propelled us into first place with a pretty substantial lead over the second place Arizona Diamondbacks.
And I also want to mention one thing. We have not lost in 14 different series, so that's a really good plus, you know?
It's fantastic. The Dodgers have been playing outstanding ball, and last night with the eruption of offense against the St. Louis Cardinals, the Dodgers show no signs of stopping whatsoever.
But, you know, yeah, and that's also fair. With last night's win, it also shows because who were playing against the Giants when they beat us and we came back and annihilated them the next game. Mm-hmm. And people always want to count us out, but they really need to know that we're not a team to be messed with.
we're here to stay, I think, is the statement we've made in the past month or so. We are now, I believe, 5 games behind the Atlanta Braves for the National League home field advantage for the playoffs. So a lot to look forward to. We still gotta keep winning if we really want to have a fantastic sort of run in the postseason.
And we are 13 games over 500, which is a good number to have at this time of year, you know?
It was a far cry from where we were earlier. I believe it was suffice to say we were closer to 13 games under 500 a couple months ago. We want to finally mention the addition. It was a huge blockbuster type move. The Dodgers recently acquired Brian Wilson. I believe that's somewhat dated news, but in newer developments, he made his Rancho Cucamonga debut last night for the Quakes. Threw 8 pitches, retired the side in a perfect inning. I don't think the Dodgers could have asked for more from him, especially in the first outing. But upon his arrival to the Major League club, which seems to be inevitable within the next week or two, who do you think will be sent down upon his arrival to the Dodger bullpen?
Well, who I think might be coming down is perhaps Steve Gordon. Once Ramirez is fully back and healthy, he's going to be playing that shortstop spot. So pretty much would be no need for D. Gordon at that point.
You know, I'm going to have to agree with Ramses on that thing. We don't really have any other people that we can just move back and forth. I mean, a lot of people would want to see Brandon Nigg sent down, but he's just signed a big contract, and I'm pretty sure he does not have a minor league clause written in his contract.
I want to go ahead and stay on the topic of Brandon League because I think the general consensus surrounding the Dodger fan base is League is the obvious choice. I mean, he has not performed the tasks that have been asked of him. He was brought in and signed to be a closer. I mean, he's not even being a good setup man at this point. It's been left to Kenley Jansen to close out all the games. Brandon League has recently been placed on waivers. The Dodgers, in sending him down to the minor leagues, which is a possibility, would ultimately kill his trade value. But with a person like Brian Wilson who has shut down stuff coming up, isn't that the logical conclusion that Brandon League would go down in his stay? Josh?
My idea on Brandon League, I mean, the perfect sense would be to send him down, maybe to get his head back in order, because I don't think he's like all there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, remember Hunt Quo? He had that really bad anxiety and his head wasn't always there in the game. And I think the pressure that Brandon League with that contract may be like affecting his performance.
Hung-Chi Kuo, for those who don't remember, had a terrible anxiety problem in his stay with the Dodgers, developed a pretty bad case of the yips on 2 occasions, I believe. I think we're seeing a lot of that from Brandon League, maybe not to the extent of Hung-Chi Kuo, but for whatever reason, batters are seeing the ball better against League than they were in the past. He was solid for Seattle, and now we're not getting any sort of return for the money we paid him. Ramsey, go ahead.
Yeah, what I think is League is a good pitcher. He's done his good stuff in the past. I'm not saying he's not a great pitcher. Just right now, he's a little anxious. He wants to get in and out of the inning. He doesn't want to mess up. And his fact of trying to mess up, it's when he messes up and gives up that pitch, you know, that one pitch he wishes he could get back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Throws it down the pipe. But honestly, in the last month, he's pitched all right compared to how he was earlier the year, you know?
I think you're right. He has gotten a little better, but to the sort of standard of play the Dodgers have seemed to have developed in the last month or two, I still don't think he's good enough to keep his job in the major league level.
Oh, no. We can't have someone as untrustworthy as Brandon League coming from the bullpen and giving up 5 runs, 3 runs, doesn't matter how many runs he gives up. Mm-hmm. We can't have that kind of person, and we have to have that person who shuts him down straight from the gate, you know?
It needs to be somebody who can shut it down, and for that, I think it seems likely that he will be sent down to the minors, if not traded, claimed off waivers altogether.
I don't know what they're going to do, because they signed that big contract, and the fact that he hasn't been able to perform, do you think they're going to be able to get him to go to somebody, or do you think they're going to have to bite a big chunk of his contract to get him off the team?
I think both. I think there's always going to be a need for relief pitching for as long as this game shall exist. But we will also have to eat up some of his contract, at least for another player in return.
But what about Brian Wilson and Kenley Jansen? That's going to be a good 1-2 punch, I think.
Absolutely. I think Brian Wilson, at the very least, can be a suitable setup guy, especially if he keeps the shutdown stuff that he had post-surgery. It'll be interesting to see. Let's go ahead and move forward with our next topic. On the subject of Dodgers who were on the brink of losing their job, it wasn't too long ago, maybe two and a half months, that Don Mattingly was next up on the chopping block. And in a recent statement given by Mattingly, he was approached by owner Stan Kasten with an ultimatum, more or less saying, in so many words, either turn this team around or find a new job. Now that the Dodgers have finally turned it around, do you think that Don Mattingly has coached his way back into contract extension talks, or does he have to do more? Does he have to get this team to the playoffs in order to secure a future with the Dodgers?
Yeah, I believe he has to get him to the playoffs at least, minimum, to at least have a chance of getting a new contract. You know, it's okay. The Dodgers are hot right now. I understand that. His moves are still a little, you know, off, but I think in order for him to secure his job, he has to take the Dodgers at least to the NLDS, you know?
I think so, too. Josh, what do you think?
I believe Don Mattingly's biggest downfall as a manager is because he's a player's coach. Mm-hmm. He always wants to give the player a chance.
Yeah.
Even when it's not best for the team, he's always trying to look out for the players. And I think that's where a lot of his bonehead moves come in, because he's trying to give the players a chance, let them try to get their head right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, if the Dodgers were fully healthy at the beginning of the season, they had Hanley, they had Kemp. Kemp with his 2011 form, because, I mean, that's the Kemp that we need back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Don Mattingly, ever since the beginning, not everyone's going to say fire him. There was a lot of fans out there saying, fire Don, you know, get him out of here. But now all of a sudden the Dodgers started becoming hot. His job in the fan side, you know, everyone's starting to like him. They still don't agree with all the moves he made in the bullpen, bunting, you know, all that stuff. But we're getting there. If the Dodgers at least make it to the playoffs, he at least has a secure job, maybe, for another year.
Mm-hmm. I think Josh brings up a good point. Don Mattingly has been quoted as being the player's manager by players like Andre Ethier and Matt Kemp. I think anybody who is labeled as a player's manager has the capacity to perhaps be a little soft, which is what I think Josh was driving at, is that Mattingly perhaps being a little too careful in delegating the workload to make sure that every player is happy. I think Josh had a really good point in saying that Don Mattingly was a player's manager. Should Don Mattingly not complete the tasks that are asked of Stan Kasten and the ownership group, there's a list of possible suitors for the next Dodgers manager job, a couple of which I've written down. Ned Yost from the Kansas City Royals has absolutely turned that team around. And he's in the final stages of his contract. I believe that he could also be a suitor, but like I mentioned, the Royals have begun to play very good baseball as of late, and I think the Royals may want to extend his contract even more so, just to hold on to him and try to prolong their winning ways. What do you guys think?
They're doing, like, it's the same thing as the Dodgers right now, you know? It's the players helping the coach out, you know. You know, his job's on the line, the player's starting to hit, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's almost the same similarity. Keeping him would be almost like getting Ned Yost, you know, same thing. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm not sure if you know there's other candidates out there as well, you know, like the Angels manager, Mike Socia. Mm-hmm. He's an ex-Dodger, fan favorite in the Angel Stadium and Dodger Stadium as well, because he played with us. He's taken his team to the playoffs multiple times and won a World Series title. He could be one of my suggestions as a possible candidate.
Some lesser candidates I also wrote down were Charlie Manuel from the Philadelphia Phillies and Jim Leland from the Detroit Tigers. Both of them seem to be at the end of their rope as far as baseball careers are concerned. So I'll go back to Mike Socia, and I want to ask Josh, what do you think of Mike Socia being the next Dodger manager?
It's hard to say, because if you look at the Angels and you see all the big blockbuster deals they've made as well as the Dodgers, like, their team is not performing like it should be. And you can't really blame the manager for players not performing, because honestly, a manager is the only one, it's pretty much all he does is write a playbook. You know what I mean? And it's up to the players to perform. So it's kind of hard to judge a manager's, like, situation. But I like Mike Sosa just because he's a Dodger, and I think he has a lot of potential if he just has the right team, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it also depends on their environment. A lot of, I mean, if you're not comfortable and all these things, there's a lot of, like, determining factors to, like, affect your managing.
I think you're exactly right, Josh. I think there's only so much a manager can do. Just to reiterate your point, there's only so much he can do from the bench. In the end, it's up to the players to perform and to stay healthy, to make sure they're doing the right things for their body to prevent injury. Because it's after the lineups have been exchanged, for the most part, it's out of their hands. They can't go up there and hit the ball for them. They can't go out there and pitch for them. The players have to establish winning ways under their grounds and their almost their grounds only. I want to go ahead and move on to the latest on the Dodger injuries. The Dodger injuries not as severe as they had been earlier in the season. It was almost as if you could make a whole new roster just out of the Dodgers disabled list. But this time around, it seems like Hanley Ramirez has injured his shoulder. He is expected to sit out against St. Louis. He has been making progress from what I hear. In a statement given by Mattingly, he should be available to pinch hit in the next series as far as extended playing time, as far as defensive positioning. Still yet to hear on what to expect from Ramirez. What do you guys think the impact is without Ramirez this time around, as opposed to what it was like to play with him earlier in the season when we really missed him, when we were really starting to fall apart?
Well, what I think, all the players right now are hot. You know, they've all gone into the groove that Hanley pretty much brought ever since then. So they could live with him without him for a short time right now, so they could handle it.
You can make the argument that Hanley Ramirez, aside from Adrian Gonzalez and a couple of other key players, may be the most valuable player on this team. Next to Kershaw was the other player I was going to mention. Josh, how much does missing Hanley Ramirez really hurt the Dodgers this time around?
Honestly, it hurts a lot, but you know what it is the most is not so much that his power and his defense and everything that hurts. It's his energy he brings to the club. Like, when Puig came to the club and they bonded it and they brought out the energy and the rest of it. If you see him celebrate on the field, they look like little kids winning a little league game. It's great. And that's what I think we miss most about when we have Hanley Ramirez on the DL or Kemp, because they brought a lot of energy to the club.
I think you're right, Josh. There's a lot of what they call is the intangibles that some of these players who are missing bring to the game, and that's what energy is. It's what making the game fun again really is. It's the sort of intangibles, the things that can't be measured by any sort of rating system. We have to mention Matt Kemp really quick. He is also on the DL. I believe he's spent more time on the DL than he has on the field this season, but it appears that Matt Kemp is making progress as far as his injury is concerned to his ankle. The last update was he was taking batting practice finally, and but there has been no word on when he will return to the lineup. So tentatively, the prognosis for return is in September. All right, let's go ahead and let's go around the league just a little bit. Since everybody is talking about it, we have to at least mention the A-Rod and the Biogenesis scandal and all the suspensions that came with it. A-Rod has definitely taken the brunt of the punishment for this, for being very cryptic in the answers he was giving and pretty much obstructing the investigation conducted by Major League Baseball and Associates. He will be serving a 211-game suspension after his appeal is ultimately rejected. I don't think he's going to win this appeal, especially with all the alleged evidence stacked against him. I want to ask both of you guys, do you think the suspensions that have been handed out have really shaken the league down to the foundation, to the point where all the players are going to realize that doping is not acceptable? It is not acceptable in sports whatsoever. Josh, I want to start with you. What do you think?
My issue with A-Rod is, and every player that does does doping, they need to understand that children look up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of example are you showing children, oh, it's okay to cheat your way to the top? AWOL, this is his second time around getting caught, and now they have evidence of him doing it from 2010 to 2012, and him allegedly pointing other athletes to go do steroids. Honestly, I don't think his suspension is harsh enough. They need to make an example out of him and make other players realize that it's not anything to play with.
Well, I think that they have made a pretty good example of him, basically saying no player is bigger than the game. We will suspend you as we see fit. There was also the possibility of a lifetime suspension, but a 211-game suspension this late in his career is going to last into his 40s. Do you think that's pretty much the equivalent of a lifetime suspension? Ramses, what do you think?
Yeah, pretty much, because after he comes back from his thing, I'm not sure even the Yankees would even consider him playing him anymore. Mm-hmm. No one's going to want to sign a cheater, in other words. And I also wanted to mention one thing. You know, like, you talked to Josh about it right now. You know, does it shake everyone around the league? Yes, it does. It shows that, like you were saying, it doesn't matter who you are in the game. You will have to face the consequences, whether it's your first time or your second time or your last time, you know?
I think you're both exactly right. I think this is enough to shake the league to its core, and I think this is I would go as far to say that this is a landmark day for baseball. I think we are finally about to get this game clean. All right, fans, we promised you. We went ahead and asked for your best comments and your best questions from the Facebook and Twitter pages. I want to go ahead and start out with what Enrique Ramirez Jr. asked. I believe he sent the page a message. He asked, will we see the Dodgers versus Braves in the NLCS, or will it be the Dodgers versus Cardinals in the NLCS? Ramses, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a bigger possibility with the Braves. Despite the Cardinals are playing good ball, the Pirates are still in first place in their league, so it's a bigger possibility to see the Braves versus the Dodgers, because the Braves are really hot right now.
I think so, too. I think the Braves have a lot more weapons as far as offense is concerned that they can hurt teams with than the Cardinals do. Cardinals are too, playing very good baseball, but I don't think it'll be enough to try to cap off the Braves. Josh, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And then also, that brings up another, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Atlanta will knock off Pittsburgh.
I believe that too.
Pittsburgh's great, but I don't think they have what it takes to keep going like Atlanta does. Atlanta has a lot of weapons. They have a lot of great players that come off their bench to pinch hit. They're a well-rounded team.
I think that's a really good point. All right, Ramses, you also have some comments and questions. Why don't you go ahead and read one?
All right, no problem. I have a comment from Carlos J. Moya. Love that you're playing Dodger baseball. Keep it going. And remember, you wear the Dodger logo. It's pride. So forever them bums from Brooklyn.
Love that comment. That's a great comment. Let's always be spreading the positivity and that Dodger spirit. I also got this is also a comment from Caitlin Johnson. This is also a shout out to Caitlin for being my first follower as produced from this podcast. I really appreciate the follower, and I had to do something special. I haven't figured out what exactly, but I'll be sure to mention you at least in this podcast. What she said on the Facebook page was, loving the podcast, boys. Keep it up. Smiley face. So there you go, guys. A little bit of affirmation to keep us going for through the rest of the series, at least. Ramses, you got another one?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, and Raymond Moreno said, I have a feeling this Dodger team is going to end up with the one seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Too bad Patrick Corbin screwed us and lost the All-Star game.
That's a bold statement. I mean, the Braves are playing pretty good ball. You really think we're going to get home field advantage? I love the prediction, though. I think if there's one team that could take it away, it's got to be the Dodgers, especially playing this hot. I love that comment. That's a good comment. I got another one from William Ramos. For what reason is it that when Kershaw pitches, the Dodgers offense is not there? William, we mentioned this in the last podcast, bro. You got to do your homework. I just want to go ahead and reiterate, I think behind guys like Kershaw, there's really I think we get a little too comfortable behind our aces, and that can lead to a lackluster sort of offense, not a lot of production from the bats. Outside of that, it's some sort of phenomenon that really can't be explained. Josh, what do you think? What do you think really attributes to the total lack of offense behind guys like Kershaw?
I think a lot of it is to they get comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I also think a lot of times when other teams match up with Kershaw, they put their ace on the mound. And we got to take that effect, too. And a lot of teams are bringing up young pitchers that are great.
I think you have a good point. We can't forget that it's not just Kershaw pitching out there against the next opponent's pitcher. They're also throwing up their ace whenever Kershaw's on the mound. That could also be attributing to the total lack of offense. Ramsey, go ahead and say your comment, and then we'll be moving on.
Yeah, I have one from a longtime Dodger fan who's not in L.A., surprising. Lois Campbell Leggett says, "We've been Dodger fans for over 20 years after moving to Phoenix. We refuse to become D-back fans. Dodger blue forever." That's what you call a true Dodger fan. No matter where you live, you still consider yourself a Dodger fan, and you root for the boys in blue.
Lois living in Phoenix. That's right in between me and Josh. I'm from Prescott. Josh, where are you from in Arizona?
From Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma, Arizona. So at least we got our fan base spread out all across the West. I think we're representing Northern California, the Northern West Coast, and also all the way back down into Arizona. I also recall one guy being from Australia who liked our page.
Oh, yeah. He sent us two guys, actually. He sent us their pictures through the things, which was really good to see someone from Australia listening to our page. I would like to thank them, real. I don't have their names right now, Dan. It's just I don't have it right now. But next series, we're definitely going
to
mention you
guys. Those two guys are listening to the podcast. Message the page. We're gonna be sure to mention you guys because you guys are truly amazing. It's really amazing to always see just how far the Dodger fandom spreads.
A good point. Uh-huh. I have another comment from someone else on here. His name was, Robert Martin. He said, "World Series prediction, Dodgers over Oakland, A's in 5 games."
The last time the Dodgers won the World Series, pretty sure the exact same thing happened. Dodgers took it in 5 behind the playing stylings of Kirk Gibson and the Bulldog Oral Hershiser. Do you like that prediction, Josh?
Yeah, I... Honestly, out of all of them, that's probably the more realistic one to me. And because that would be amazing.
I think so, too. I think the Oakland Athletics are playing some really good baseball, and sort of the unsung hero of that team has been Eric Sogard, who has been the man to draw the extra walk, to get the extra base runner, to knock in the extra RBI that's pushed the Oakland A's over the edge and over the threshold to win the ball games that they really need to win. I have one more comment. Actually, it's less of a comment, more of a mention. I want to mention Aaron LeVang, who went to, I believe, 2 of the games in St. Louis and represented us Dodger fans in fine style, repping all the gear. You can check out her pictures that she posted on the Dodger Talk Facebook wall. And I want to say thanks again, Aaron, for representing the Dodger fans all the way out into central United States as far as St. Louis. I think that is really amazing.
And also, I have one more thing as well. We got a message from Ethan Mendez who said the Dodgers are showing the whole new blue we're talking about this season, especially the number one pitching, Clayton Kershaw.
Ethan Mendez, I couldn't agree more. Rallying behind Kershaw, pitching gets you everywhere in this league. You're exactly right. We are finally playing like the Dodger team we are supposed to be playing as. Yeah. That'll do it for the episode 2 of the Dodger Talk podcast. If you want to like the Dodgers on Facebook, go to facebook.com/Dodger Talk or follow us on Twitter. You can go to twitter.com, Dodger_talk. And then, Ramsey, do you have a Twitter you'd like to plug?
Yeah, it's at Ramses L, so it's @RAMSESL.
And then, Josh, where can fans follow you?
You can go ahead and follow me on Twitter, @Josh_Martinez, MARTINEZ 88.
For my partners, Ramses Lemus and Josh Martinez, I am JD Miller. You can follow me at twitter.com/JDMILLER5150. That is @JDMiller5150. Also, be sure to catch the episode on iTunes as well at YouTube and Podomatic, it's dodgertalk.podomatic.com. Thanks a lot, fans. We'll see you next time.
Catch you guys later.
All right, before we close out this podcast, we want to take a moment out of our day to go ahead and say tragic news and Dodger news today. The terminally ill teenager that Matt Kemp had befriended at Giant Stadium, who he gave the gear off his back, and also flew him out to a Dodger game later on in the season, has tragically succumbed to his illness at the age of 19. Our best wishes and condolences go out to the Jones family, and our hearts go out through them with this tough time.